The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
Hundreds of Palestinian prisoners are set to be released by Israel tomorrow in exchange for captive Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit. The swap's expected to take place somewhere in Egypt's Sinai region. Shalit was captured back in 2006 along the Gaza border. He'll be exchanged tomorrow for 477 Palestinian prisoners, and another set of more than 500 prisoners are expected to be released in the following few months. Many of these prisoners were convicted for involvement in the killing of Israelis. A number of Israelis who lost family members in these terrorist attacks, plotted by some of these convicted prisoners set to be released, are protesting the swap. And our next guest, Arnold Roth, lost his daughter, Malka, back in 2001 when a pizza shop in Jerusalem was attacked. The woman who drove the bomber to the pizza restaurant and may have had a hand in actually plotting the attack is amongst those who will be released tomorrow. Arnold, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Philip.
First off, can you tell us what happened to your daughter?
She was standing next to the counter in the restaurant on a very hot school holiday afternoon. In between doing good things in the morning and planning to do good things in the afternoon, and was right next to the young man, a religious fanatic, who walked in carrying a guitar case on his back, which did not contain a guitar. She was with her very best friend, a girl of 16, and not only her best friend, but our neighbor, so that the impact here in the neighborhood where I'm speaking from on the northern side of Jerusalem was really tremendous. We didn't know Malky's fate until about 12 hours later, despite the best efforts that we made of going from hospital to hospital in a scene out of Dante's Inferno. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning when we actually found Malky's body in the pathology center in Tel Aviv, quite far from here.
So for you, this prisoner exchange, it doesn't seem to be the diplomatic victory that everyone else is calling it.
I've got to say, I haven't heard anyone call it a diplomatic victory, and if they are, then it's quite puzzling. This is an act of immoral extortion without precedent. Very notion that because of the sanctity of human life and the absolutely justified desire of the Israeli public and of the leadership here to do everything that can be done to bring back our hostage, Gilad Shalit, steps are being taken now which, in my view, and in my view without a doubt, are going to endanger many people for years to come. I see this decision as not just not a diplomatic victory, but literally a catastrophe.
Arnold Roth, as someone who is a victim of terrorism in Israel, explain the, really frustrating calculation that the Israeli government has had to engage in here. On the one hand, there's the doctrine of not negotiating with terrorists. On the other hand, there is the universal military service requirement in Israel, with some religious exceptions, which is where Gilad Shalit stands, that in a sense the government is forced to protect all those citizens who would be soldiers, and that encompasses virtually the entire population. And in a sense, it's your sacrifice versus the military sacrifice. Do you think in some sense all Israelis are compelled to basically accept a level of sacrifice as a condition for living there under these circumstances?
I think, John, that there is a kind of a social contract at work here in which people buy into the idea that they need to put themselves at risk, and if not at risk, then certainly at great inconvenience over most of their working lives in order to give a hand to keeping the society protected from the enemies who are in every direction around us. The debate over the freedom of Gilad Shalit has been something of a distortion of the general philosophical issues that you and I have just mentioned. There's been a focus, which I find very difficult to understand, on one value in a spectrum of values. Without a doubt, this is a country which, beyond other countries that I've personally known, treats the value and sanctity of human life at a very high level. It's a talking point here in many different contexts. But anyone who knows something about Israel will say, yes, human life, the lives of not only our own citizens but also the people who get killed in the wars that we are involved in, people on the other side of the fence, these lives have a very high value. And that's not the only value. It's not the only issue. There's a whole spectrum of them. And it's baffling to me that in this public debate, there's been so little attention paid, other than lip service, at the existential risks that are going to be created directly as a consequence of this transaction. After all, we're releasing 1,000, more than 1,000 people, and we're not talking here of people who forgot to tip at the restaurant on their way out. The woman about whom we are so enraged concerning her impending liberation, killed 16 people. She planned the massacre of the Sabaro restaurant, and this is why she's a hero in their circles.
Let me ask you, Arnold, if it was your daughter who was being held, had been held in captivity for 5 years, if your daughter was in Gilad Shalit's place, how many prisoners would it be worth it in an exchange, in a swap, to get her back safely?
I've thought about that, and it's somewhere between 1.5 million and 2 million. But as a famous figure in Israeli society, Geula Cohen, memorably said some years ago, that's what I would demand, and as a citizen of Israel, I would expect to be ignored. Now, that's not to say that the interests of the Gilad Shalit family should be ignored. Quite the opposite. Their voice is a powerful voice, and he has rights, and so do they. But it's a mistake to take the view that it's the only issue on the table. There are other issues, and those other issues are of the highest possible significance. I feel as if I am an emissary of the families who are going to become terror victims but don't know it yet. In speaking out, people are going to be killed. It's a statistical certainty, and they're going to be killed because of the release of these terrorists. Almost every one of them, I think, is going to come out and be under the microscope to see whether his determination or her viciousness have gone through any kind of amelioration or moderation as a result of their imprisonment. This is going to be a very difficult time, and from the propaganda point of view, you can be certain that Hamas, the terrorist organization, the regime that runs the Gaza Strip, is going to want to put the graduates of the Israeli prison system out there front and center, because there's no greater damage to Israeli morale than that. It's a certainty.
Arnold Roth lost his daughter in a suicide bombing in 2001. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you.
The prisoner exchange begins tomorrow. Israel has released the names of the first 477 Palestinian prisoners who will be released in exchange for one Israeli soldier. Tomorrow we'll bring you a Palestinian view of the deal.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.